All right, pleasure to have you with us today, as I say, as we wrap it up with the Dodgers. This is it for the season. Dodgers 14-4 against the Giants this year. What a difference a year makes. A pleasure to bring in our next guest is Joe Sheehan of the Joe Sheehan newsletter that comes out a few times a week. He does a great job. I will say it again every time he's on. There is no better newsletter on baseball coming out on the Internet. You should subscribe, joesheehan.com. Joe, nice to have you with us. How are you?
Good, Marty. I think we're the only people talking baseball today.
It's funny you say that. Probably so. But you know something? The football season has a long way to go. And it's only the second week, so maybe we're still looking at a little bit of baseball. I must say, and I'll mea culpa to you, I was wrong about the Giants. I thought that they had enough pitching and certainly had enough hitting to dominate some of these games, and it just has not happened for them in the second half.
Yeah, just a little bit off. I mean, the starting pitching got away from them a little bit. The bullpen, which you know, you and I have been talking about, even going back to last year, concerns about whether it would hold up in the long term. And, you know, the offense, we've talked about this as well. You know, they missed that core of last year. Buster Posey retired. Brandon Belt had an injury-plagued year. And Brandon Crawford wasn't nearly as good. So you put all that together, and that core just wasn't there. I do still think that Farnsworth and his staff and Gabe Kapler and his staff can do very good things with the 6 through 26 men on the roster. But the Giants now have to think about how are we going to assemble that championship core at the top five.
Well, knowing Farhan like you do, following his career, what does he do? What would be your advice? How does he get there? How does he get to that point that you describe? How does he get there?
I know there's a lot of talk. There was an ESPN article this week said, you know, what should the Giants do? And I think everybody chimed in to say the Giants should sign Aaron Judge. And, yeah, I mean, you can't really go wrong signing one of the best players in baseball, but I would look differently. I think if I'm going to invest the kind of money it's going to take to get one of the best players on the market, I want to do it at an up-the-middle position. I look at Trey Turner. Trey Turner is somebody who would be 30. He's a true shortstop. He's the type of player who, because he has a broad skill set, is likely to age better than Judge. And I don't want to take anything away from Judge, but you look at the track record of, you know, very tall hitters, and it's basically Dave Winfield, and it falls off right from there. Whereas with Turner, I trust him better on a 6 or 7 year contract. And I think it's easier if you put that shortstop on the field with money, it's easy to fill in around him. We've talked about this. You know, again, I keep coming back to last year with the strength up the middle. You can find guys to platoon around that. I think signing the superstar Turner enables you to fill in around that, showing the development and player improvement and player acquisition skills you've had on the margins.
What do you think about Correa? Because Turner's going to be a big-ticket item, looking at Simeon and Seager from last year, and Turner, I'm sure, knows what they're getting. Correa may be a little bit cheaper. Do you see him in that class of being any sort of difference maker on a team?
I think he can be. I think you've got to look at Correa's last few years. And as much as I love the player, he hasn't been able to stay on the field. Whereas Turner is one of the most durable players in baseball. I think that's got to matter when you're looking at making this level of investment. Guys with back problems, and Correa's had some back issues. That's a real concern. I guess I'm sensitive to it as a fan, Marty. My favorite player ever is Don Mattingly, and his career was altered by back problems. So I always worry about guys with back problems. I think Correa you can probably get a bit more cheaply, not coming off the platform year that Turner's had, and again, because of those injury concerns. So if you wanted to default to that, if you wanted to look at Xander Bogaerts, who's in that same category. But I think we're in the same – I think we're thinking of the same thing, though. Get the up-the-middle player. Make that investment and then fill in around him. So whether it's Correa or Bogaerts or Turner or – oh, there's another shortstop I'm blanking on. Dansby Swanson, somebody in that category. That's the player to go after.
All right. Carlos Rodon has had a terrific year for the Giants. He's just trailing – I don't know how many strikeouts Cole had today, but – he was only trailing him in the strikeout race in all of Major League Baseball. He undoubtedly will test the market. But my question to you is on the Cy Young Award this year in the National League. You think Rodon is in the mix, or Alcantara pitched another complete game today, another fabulous game? Is it just conceded to Sandy Alcantara, or do you think Rodon could make a jump here over DeGrom and people like that?
It's close. I mean, Rodon's basically third right now to me between Max Fried and Alcantara, and there's a pretty significant difference. I will say that it depends. You know, I'm going to use typically Baseball Reference WAR to look at a pitcher. If you look at Fangraphs WAR, I believe he looks better in that because that looks less at actual runs and more at something like FIP, which is more theoretical. I will say that, you know, you started out talking about me, you being wrong about the Giants. I was wrong about Rodon. We got to the trade deadline, and that was really where last year the shoulder gave out on him. He wasn't able to really finish the year strong. He's done that this year. And you talk about a guy who's a potential free agent now showing that he can stay in the rotation, make 30 starts, give you 180 innings. That was the missing – that was the reason the Giants got him as cheaply as they did last year. But now that he's proven that, you're talking about somebody who might go into the market and get 5-130 on the free market because he's shown that he can stay healthy.
Well, looking at some of the awards that could be given out, and I love the fact that we're talking about Judge, but you wrote about Ohtani, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime type of player, not only an outstanding hitter, but outstanding pitcher, and all at the same time. You had a very interesting article on Ohtani.
Yeah, we just haven't seen this before. I mean, you know, Babe Ruth did it for a very limited amount of time where Bruce was both a great hitter and a great pitcher in the same season. He really did it for about half of 17 and half of 18, or half of 18 and half of 19. You talk about some Negro League players, W.D. Radcliffe. And you look at his history, and he really was never great at both in the same season. Whereas Ohtani is one of the, I mean, he's the third best pitcher in the American League this year and the like 15th or 16th best hitter. It's a remarkable season that he's having. And again, he's done it twice now. You could look at last year. I looked at last year and said, okay, you did it once, but can you continue to do it with the travel? Can you continue to do it with the doing it at the major league level? And for him to double down, actually, he's a better pitcher this year. More strikeouts, fewer walks. He's given the Angels more innings in that six-man rotation. And as a hitter, you know, he's basically in the same range. I take it for granted is one way to put it, because the Angels are out of the race. You know, you late at night, you flip into the Padres, you're flipping to the Mariners, and I've missed a lot of Ohtani this year, kind of taking him for granted. But I made a point last night to watch him against the Mariners. Six innings, six shutout innings. He drove in a run. He scored a run. He basically single-handedly won the game. And we've never seen anything like that, Marty. There's a fascination that I have now. And I was a doubter. I was a total doubter of Ohtani for 3 years, and maybe there's no zealot like a convert, but he's just so much fun to watch right now.
Yeah, he is. Unfortunately, he's on a team that they just can't win. He's got Trout, the other superstar, with him. They just can't win, and I think he sort of gets buried a little bit there because he's on the Angels. So we'll see. We'll see where he goes. What do you think happens next for him? He undoubtedly would leave the Angels, I would think.
I think so. He's a free agent at the end of the 2023 season. He hasn't directly said he's leaving, but I mean, he wants to win. And the Angels have for 5 years now not put a winning team on the field, despite having him and Trout. It is highly unlikely that they'll do so next year. And now, you know, you're looking at a team with a poor farm system that has a lot of its core is actually, if you look at Rendon and Trout, it's an aging core. It's hard to see them winning going forward. So I think if you're the Angels, maybe you make the offer to Ohtani, try to make the Godfather offer. But if he's not going to sign with you and you're not going to be able to catch the Astros and Mariners next year, you have to trade him. I fully expect him to be traded this winter.
Well, that's going to be something. All right. Very good. Joe Sheehan, SHEEHAN.com. And the newsletter, as I say, is all stuff like this where Joe just talks about baseball. It's really pretty good. Playoffs are coming up. And I've talked about it on the show this weekend, the three-game series. It really is dramatic for me. Baseball loves a Game 7, the ultimate game. Well, after the first game of all these series, they get a Game 7. They get an elimination game. But the pitching is going to be used up quite a bit heading into that second round. And I think this year I'm looking at a lot of middle relief being the difference for these ball clubs, especially the ones that have to play the first round.
Yeah, the depth is going to be incredibly important. Whereas previously it would be one game, you'd burn one starter, get the day off, and have your number two starter out there starting the next series. Now, as you say, Marty, you could have to use 27 innings of pitching just to get to the division series. And I'm looking at the Rays, who always have 12, 13 average or better pitchers on their roster. And they don't really care about Shane McClanahan's certainly going to get the start for them. But, yeah, they can bring out a lot of multi-inning relievers, a lot of strikeout arms, a lot of different looks. I think they're wired to have a really good advantage in this format. I look at the Mariners as well. If trading for Castillo lengthened their rotation, they also have an army of relievers coming out of that bullpen as well. Really an underrated factor, facet of that team right now is how deep and varied that bullpen is. So those are two teams I think most certainly going to end up in that round who I think have the best chance to get through it and still be a threat in the division series.
I like the Cardinals. I like Pallante, Dakota Hudson, and that whole crowd. That's my dark horse team. Anybody going to challenge? We have about a minute and a half to go here. Anybody going to challenge the Dodgers and Houston?
I mean, they've separated themselves. But you know, I'm always going to tell you, Marty, in a best of five series, the difference between the best teams and the next best teams, you look at the Braves and the Mets and the Cardinals you mentioned, I just don't think there's going to be that big a difference. Baseball's greatness, you see that over 162 games. So in a best of five, there's just not as much difference between the best and the very best. So if I had to pick two teams, you mentioned the Cardinals, but I'm going to say the Braves right now, I think, are the probably third or fourth best team in baseball. And then I look at the Rays with all that pitching depth. Those would be the two teams that I would expect. If it's not going to be the Dodgers and Astros, look to the Braves and the Rays.
I'm looking at the Mets and the Cardinals. One of those two for me. That's where it's going to go. Well, a pleasure having you on, as always. We'll catch up with you again before the end of the season. We've only got two more weekends after this, but I want to get your World Series pick. But the newsletter is going to cover all this stuff, Joe, so I appreciate you being on.
Thanks, Marty. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, very good. That is Joe Sheehan. Of course, we do have the game tonight, which we really didn't talk too much about, but that is Haney going for the Dodgers tonight and Alex Cobb for the Giants. Bill on Extra Innings today has got Greg Jeffries. Boy, local kids, Sarah High School in San Mateo, Mets, Cardinals, and Phillies. So Bill has got that on Extra Innings tonight. All right, we're going to take a break. More coming up. It is Brad Mangin is going to come up next. He and Brian Murphy put the book together about Buster Posey. We're going to talk about that right after these messages.